Hey, Lord, every day you have something good planned for me. Father, I just bless you. I love you. I speak it with my mouth. I tell you right in front of everybody how wonderful you are to me. I praise your name. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. Thank you, Father, for calling me and drawing me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance, your love, your compassion for me, giving me wisdom, convicting me. Father, thank you, Lord, for your Trinity. I bless you now, and I love you, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Let me pray for us now. Father, I thank you for the time we have together. Father, I thank you that we're able to come here and just worship you. Lord, I ask you now, as we open your word and we look into your word, that I know your word doesn't come back void. So, Father, I pray that our ears are anointed now so that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to us. I know you have a lot to say today. Lord, I ask you that you will bring us to a place that when we leave this place today, we'll have something going out that we didn't have coming in. And that will bless us for the rest of our lives. And I ask you now in Jesus' name to bless us. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Well, we are in our series, and of course the series is called Locking and Unlocking the Tongue. And what I'm going to talk about today, and I want to remind you before I even get started, that you asked for this series. This is the number one requested series, Controlling the Tongue. And I'm trying to tell you today it's going to be a little different. I'm going to teach today. I'm not here to make you shout. I'm here to make you shake. Because what can shake is not the kingdom, right? And so if I can shake you, I understand that it's not me doing it, please. It's the Word of God. Because that's what it's going to do today. It's going to challenge us. It's going to shake us. And we're going to have to look at ourselves and look at our lives at some things that we've done and hopefully repent from and get corrected in our lives so that we can go about life in a better way. So anyway, I just want you to know today I'm the mailman. Don't get mad at me. Say, Pastor, we love you. Okay. Say, bring it on. Say, go ahead. Say, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Okay. Okay, we're going to talk today about gossip and slander. And of course, my title today is Gossip and the Sick Mind. We're going to approach this today from a little different angle, maybe something that we've never heard before. But we do not take the sin of gossip and slander serious enough. And the first thing that I want us to see is that when we gossip and slander, it's coming from a sick or a depraved or a reprobate mind. Let me show you. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 28 through 30. It says here, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. In other words, that means they didn't think it was necessary to do it God's way. They didn't retain what God had said. They were doing it their way. Since they didn't see it necessary to do it God's way, he gave them over to a depraved mind. I want you to know that God will let you do it your way. He'll let you, if you don't want to do it his way, if you don't think what he says is important, he'll let you do it your way. And then what you will happen is your mind will move into a series of depravities that will spiral you downward. And he'll let you do it your way. And now the King James Version says reprobate mind. But this is what happens to us if we don't do it God's way. He'll let you do it. He goes on to say, to do what ought not to be done, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness. And he starts listing them. Evil, greed, and depravity. This is the next verse, not a different thought, same thought. Still these things are coming from the depraved mind. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips and slanderers. Gossips and slanderers are products of a depraved mind, a reprobate mind. God haters, look what he lists them with. God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. There's something wrong with a mind that gossips and slanders. They have a depraved mind, people that do this. We don't want to think about it that way because we don't want to think of ourselves as having a depraved mind. But how many of us have not slandered or have not gossiped? See, and that's coming from, and here's what I want us to see today, is when we move into that, we're coming from a mind that is going in the wrong direction. A mind that is not doing what God has intended for us to do. We tend to put sin in categories. We put sin in big sins and little sins. And our big sins are something like this, homosexuality, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, those kinds of big things, you know, that are up there, molestations and those kinds of things. But I want you to see from the list that I just read you that very at the top of the list is gossip and slander. Top of God's list. And one reason to see is when we start gossiping and slandering, we're getting really close to blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You remember in Matthew chapter 12 where Jesus was talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? That was the context. They were slandering Jesus. They were gossiping about Jesus. And when he says, listen guys, you're getting real close here. Be careful what you're saying here, because you're getting real close to a sin that is just going over the line with God. So when we start talking about people, it becomes a very, very serious issue, and we're turning our minds over to something that is not of God, and we're letting it become reprobate. It's big to God. It's big to God when we begin to blaspheme. People who gossip and slander are mental. Their minds are sick. Now, let me help you just a little bit. Think of someone that you know who is a horrible gossip and slanderer. We all know people that do this. Think of someone who, every time you get around them, they blast people. They're talking about people. They're always negative. They're always condemning. They're always talking about people. Now, think of their mental state. If you know them very well, you know that they're mentally unstable. They are consumed with these people of which they speak. They become, their whole life becomes a series of events evolving around this person that they're gossiping and slandering, and it begins to consume them. It consumes their mind, and it keeps them from having thoughts of God, and rather they're having negative thoughts, gossipy thoughts, slanderous thoughts about people. And God gives them over to that. Why is it such a big deal with God? Why does God give so many scriptures and warn us so many times in the Bible not to gossip and not to slander? Why? There are so many things we could pull out, but I think I've got something that kind of sums it up. Because when gossip and slander happens at its minimal, at its least point of damage, it poisons. It's like a blood disease. Now, let me show you this in the scriptures, and I think it's extremely interesting and important that we get this. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, it says this: do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that, look at this now, endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Now notice how the Lord links together slander and damaging life. When we slander, when we gossip, we're actually damaging life. And I was amazed at the clarity of the King James Version over the NIV Version in this particular verse. Let me read it to you from the King James Version. It says in the same verse, it says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer, as a slanderer, among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. You see, slander and gossip literally damages a person's system, like a blood disease. A blood disease gets into your entire system. Every cell in your body is affected by that blood disease. When slander and gossip takes over in your life, when you listen to it or when you do it, and the person that you're speaking about, all this happens to everybody concerned. What happens to them is like a blood disease. They have to live with it the rest of their life. It affects their spirit. It affects their soul. It affects their body. It affects their emotions. It affects every aspect of their life. Gossip and slander does this. And so what God is saying here is the reason I don't like it, the reason it's so bad, is it's like once you hear somebody gossip about somebody else, you got to think about that every time you see that person. It's like a poison in your system. It gets in you and you got to deal with it for the rest of your life. When somebody says something negative about you, every time you see that person that spoke about you, you got to deal with it. It's a poison that gets into people. The word that's used, blood, there is used 358 times. It's the same word. It's the Hebrew word D-A-M, dom. And what it means is blood, like an animal's blood or a person's blood. It's you mess up a person. You mess up life when you slander and when you gossip. One of the many terms that the Bible uses to describe gossip and slander is the term evil report. This is what Joseph did to his brothers. Now, I really hope you got your Bibles, because I really want you to see this. This is going to help you if you do. If you don't, please get the notes that are already prepared for you and out there. But in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, it starts telling us about Joseph, and Joseph is a young person. He's immature. And so we're going to take that into consideration here. But here's what it says about him. It says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Just leave that up there and let me give you the picture. There were 12 boys. And probably Benjamin was the youngest, and he was probably still at home at the place with Dad. And the rest of them had gone out into the fields to keep the flocks. And Joseph went along with the others. So there are 11 of them at least were out there. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now the word used here for report in the Hebrew is debah. And what it means is to slander. Now notice how the Bible puts this. Evil slander. Double emphasis. I mean, this was malicious slander. Joseph came back talking about these boys in a malicious, hurtful way. He went out and he says, Dad, you won't believe it. They talk about you, they talk about Mom, they talk about all the people. They don't watch the flocks, they're not doing... And I'm sure that Joseph saw some things that weren't good and were true. Everything he probably talked about was true, but it was still evil. And he brought this back to his dad talking about his brothers. Now, get this. You don't miss this point. Next verse. I'm not skipping verses on you. The very next verse. Here's what it says. Now, Israel. This is Jacob who had been conformed to Israel. He had had a transformation. Now, Israel. Say now. Just say now. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. When did he love Joseph more than all of his children? Now. What is that referencing? The verse prior? Which is where he slandered his brothers. Where he evilly slandered them. Joseph's purpose in doing this slander, this evil slander, was to turn his father from his brothers and make him love him more, and it worked. Look at this. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Isn't that interesting? Now, see, what the purpose of it was to turn his father's love from his brothers to him and to get something. It was for personal gain. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gave an evil report? You know, maybe you wanted a job, and so you begin to talk about somebody at work so that you could get the advancement. Or maybe in the family, you know, you have a brother or a sister, so you give an evil report. Do you know that most family situations where there's a division in siblings in a family where hatred and brothers and sisters go for years and years and years and never speak to one another is because of this very thing? Well, somebody said something about another one, and they heard about it because Joseph's brothers heard about it. And the next thing you know, this thing's going on and it's big. Next verse, verse 2, verse 3, now verse 4. Let me show you this. Verse 4 of Genesis 37 says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. In other words, every time they saw him, there was nothing nice said. It was always mean things, mean thoughts, doing mean things to him. They were mean to Joseph. This was obviously an ugly situation. The brothers heard about it. Do you know that most times when we talk about people, they hear what we said about them? Most times, it gets back, and you know what happens? They begin to hate us. Because we get an evil report. We did an evil thing. So what did they do the first opportunity that they got? What did Joseph's brothers do to Joseph the very first opportunity that they had? Get rid of him. They got vengeance. And when we talk about people, and they hear about it, you better believe they're going to get vengeance. And they're going to say things about you. And so they took him and they threw him in a pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt and sold him for as a slave. They took his coat of many colors. Listen, took his coat of many colors, killed a goat, put the blood on that, took that blood-filled coat and gave it to his daddy. Can you imagine what that did to his daddy? Can you imagine how Israel or Jacob felt as they handed him this blood-filled coat from his son? His heart was ripped. He went into this long time of grief. It affected everything. Why? What started it? Why did all this begin happening? Because Joseph gave an evil report, a slander. Joseph went to Egypt, and you know the story. He ended in a guy's house, and an Egyptian official whose name was Potiphar. Now, Potiphar took Joseph, and things looked like they were going good, but I want to give you a principle in the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that too shall he what? Also reap." How would you say that in today's vernacular? What goes around, comes around. What Joseph did to his brother was done to him. Potiphar's wife slandered him. Potiphar's wife said, "He tried to rape me." Potiphar had Joseph tried. He was convicted and put in jail for, what best I can understand looking in the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, 14 years. 14 years out of his life. 14 years he had to go to prison. 14 years. Why? 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 Because of an evil report. How many of us today are living in our self-made prison because we gave an evil report? How many of us never get to experience all that God has for us because we have given an evil report? We've slandered, we gossiped, we poisoned. And God says, "Okay, Joseph, if you want to go there, you go there. It's just going to be a spiral downward, and it's going to become a depraved thing for you." Now, you know how the story ends. It ended up well. Two reasons. One is the redemption power of God, right? God can take all things, and we should know this, that God takes all things and does what? Works them together for good, for those that love God, for those that are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. That's what it tells us. And that's what God did for Joseph, because Joseph, number two, repented. Joseph never again gave an evil report. Never again. He got it. Would to God we'd get it. He got out of his prison and went to the palace. He repented, and it never again happened to him. How many of us, though, live today in a self-made prison? We're not living the best life we could have. What I want to tell you today is repent. Stop doing it. Let God take you from your prison and put you in your palace. There is one for you. God has one for all of us. An abundant life. A great life. But we so mess it up because we don't lock our tongues. What I'm trying to tell us today is lock our tongue. Don't talk about people. We actually grieve God when we gossip and slander. Let me read you this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only." Would you say only? Only. What does only mean? Only, right? I mean, nothing else. Only what is helpful for building others up. In other words, if it's not positive, don't say it. If it's not building people up, don't say it, because look what he says here after this. Building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Listen, when we gossip, somebody's listening. And what it's doing is it's poisoning them and taking them down rather than building them up. Benefit those who listen and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom, look at this, now don't miss this part, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Redemption. Notice how, please get this, notice how the words that come out of your mouth equate to your redemption. God taking the things where we messed up and goofed up in life and working it all together so that it comes out to a palace. What we say so controls what God can do for us. We build prisons for ourselves to live in. But God wants to redeem us. He wants to take that stuff and make your prison a palace. And it's all by the words that we speak. He goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Get rid of it. Stop doing it. Get rid of it. Along with every form of malice. It's a malice. It's a sin. It's terrible. God hates it. People are a huge part of our lives. Every day we deal with people. Every day. They're so important to us. But yet we talk about them like it's nothing and like they're nothing. And we're talking about people that God loves. His children. And people that oftentimes love God. How do you feel when somebody talks about your child, who you love and who loves you? How do you feel? Tell me. Come on. Come on. Tell me. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to tear them up. You want to call them on the telephone. You want to, don't go around them. Well, it's the same thing God does. He gives you over to that so that you will go the wrong way away from His children. That's what Father feels every time we talk about some person. And every person is precious to Him. And many times they love Him. See, Joseph may have been Jacob's favorite, but he wasn't God's favorite. He says, I am no respecter of persons. I don't have any favorites. I love everybody the same. We think God loves us more, so we can talk about people. Oh, you better not. It's a poison. You're a depraved mind. God will give you over to it. It gets worse and worse and worse. And you'll find yourself in a prison instead of the palace that God has for you. Matthew 12:37 says this, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You shall go to prison, condemned prison. You should be freed, justified, live in your palace, or live in your prison. I think it's time, and you agree with me or not agree with me, but I think it's time that we confront gossips and slanderers. I think it's time that we confront it and not tolerate it. What do you think? Do you think so? But you see, we're afraid we'll offend somebody. We'll make somebody mad. Well, Jesus didn't care if He made somebody mad. You see, because stopping gossip and slander is far more important than a relationship. What grief would Jacob have avoided himself and for his child had he, when Joseph walked in there with that evil report, says, Joseph, don't talk about your brothers like that. What would he have saved? What grief would he have saved Joseph? What grief would he have saved himself? Because he would have confronted the evil report. But instead, he didn't. He listened to it. See, when people gossip and slander around you, it's because they know they can. Very seldom do people come and gossip and slander to me. But if they come to you talking about people, it's because you let them. They know that Joseph knew he could. Joseph knew he could talk about his brothers to his daddy because he was his daddy's favorite. See what it got him? Confront it. You got to learn to confront it. Now, I want to deal with another point about gossip. We say, well, I don't gossip. I just listen to people that gossip. I don't want to offend them. I like them. I'm trying to win them to the Lord. You better learn to confront it. Remember the children of Israel when they were following Moses, and Moses led them to the Jordan River the first time. And there they were. And so Moses selected one person from every tribe to become a spy. And he sent 12 spies into the land. Remember the story? They were in there 40 days and they came back. Two came back with a what? Good report. 10 came back with a evil report. The same thing that Joseph did to his brothers, these guys come back doing to the nation. Now get the picture. They're going through the people talking, giving an evil report. Let me give you the verse. It's in Numbers 13:32. It says this, and they brought an evil report. Same thing Joseph did. Same evil slander, double emphasis. It was malicious. It was mean. It was bad talking of the land which they had searched into. And you can read the rest of it. Here's what they did. They came in and they went through the people, these 10 guys. They went through the people with an evil, malicious report. Listen, I saw it, they would say. I was there. I saw. There are people so big, they're giants. We're like grasshoppers to them. And those cities have such huge... Listen, there is no way we can win. Those people will kill us. That we can't fight those giants. We can't conquer those walled cities. If we go in there, we're all going to die. Your children are going to die. You're going to die. Your wife's going to die. Everybody's going to die if we go in there. I saw it. You better listen to me. I saw it. Moses didn't see it. I saw it. You don't listen to Moses. You better listen to me. And listen, let me tell you too about Joshua and Caleb. They're yes men. They'll do whatever Moses wants to do. They're going to want to go in there. You wait and see. They're going to want to go in. And if we do, we're dying. You mark my words. Maliciously. Joshua and Caleb come back with a good report. They confronted it. The other people just listened to the ten. They just listened to the malicious report, to the evil report. They just listened. Now hear me, if you don't hear anything else that I said, or we'll say the rest of the day. What did listening to their slander and their gossip, their evil report, get them? They lost the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives, they lived in a wilderness. They could have been living in their dream, their promised land. The rest of their lives, they lived in tents. And they could have been living in houses and walled and protected cities. The rest of their lives, they spent eating manna. And they could have been eating the corn of the land. They died without their dream, but all they did was listen. Because they were poisoned by malicious slander, by gossip. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, went in because they challenged the slander. They said, oh no, yeah, and there's always, how many knows there's a portion of truth with every gossip and every slander? There's always a portion of truth. They said, yeah, there are giants in the land. Yes, those cities are walled, but our God is well able. Our God is, if my God can deliver me from Egypt and all that stuff, He can surely take care of me in this promised land. These people are nothing compared to what He did to the Egyptians. Our God is well able. Listen, we're well able. They're but bread for us. We can do this thing. Listen, you guys are wrong. You're wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. You're taking us to the wrong way. They challenge that gossip. They challenge that slander. They challenge that evil report. Who went in? The ones that listened or the ones that challenged? You better learn to challenge gossip. I ask you a question. If you lived then, which group would you have been in? I can tell you how you can tell. If you listened to gossip today, you'd have listened to gossip then, and you would have died in the wilderness. If you confront it today, you'll go in. You'll experience your dreams. You'll live in all that God has for you. He redeems you according to what comes out of your mouth. He redeems us by not listening to that kind of stuff. Joshua and Caleb went in, lived beyond their wildest expectations, lived long lives. They confronted it. Someone asked me one time, Pastor, how do you know when to discuss someone so you can help them and know that you're not gossiping? Well, first let me say this. Times when we discuss someone's situation and it helps them are few and far between. Our discussing, Casey and my discussing Terry isn't going to help Terry. It's few and far between when we do this. Now, there are times when we have to say things. There are times when we have to reveal information. There are times when we... But listen, most times we do it, if it's not for them, if it's not edifying and uplifting them and building them up, it's gossip, people. You can color it and flavor it any way you want to. It's gossip. Private matters should stay private. Do you want somebody talking about your situation and your affairs and things you're going through? No. Then it's not right for you to talk about someone else's. I was asked this, what if you have a friend or a relative you know is about to make a bad decision because of their involvement with someone, but you don't want to gossip, but you want to warn them about the person? Well, here's what I do. I ask questions. I said, have you really investigated this? Have you checked this out? Have you done your homework? What have you learned about this situation? And here's one that I always do. So if I ever say this to you, read my lips. Do you have it in writing? what that person's going to do and what you're going to do. I was thinking about it. You know, what did Jesus do? I'm sure there were some Pharisees and some Sadducees that he had on his blacklist that he really wanted to caution people about, specific ones. Some always are worse than others, so I'm sure there were some specific ones. But you know what he did? Here's what he says. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven. In other words, watch out for all of them. But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the disciples figured it out, didn't they? It took them a little while. They weren't real sure what he was talking about. And when you warn somebody the way I just told you to warn them, they'll figure it out. They'll get it. I've learned over the years that it doesn't matter what you really say, because if you tell them what you know about this person, they're going to go to that person and tell them what you said. Now you're in trouble with them. Now they're talking about you because they're going to get vengeance. And what goes around comes around. And now you got that going on. You got to deal with that. The disciples figured it out. People will figure it out. And if they're going to change, they'll change. They'll figure it out. The disciples figured it out. People aren't as stupid as we think. They know what we're trying to say. But it's not going to happen to them, they think. It really doesn't matter what you say. They're going to do what they want to do. So how do you confront gossip with someone without damaging a relationship? Well, what you have to first decide is that confronting the gossip is more important than the relationship. If it's a good relationship, it will handle gossip. It will handle your confronting it, right? If it's a good relationship, it'll handle your confronting the relationship. I'll tell you a story. My wife got a phone call one time. I had this thing going on here at the church with me in a situation. And so my wife got a phone call. And the person said, was asking about it. And my wife said, I'm not going to talk about it. And she says, well, can you just tell me something? Because these people are asking me questions and I just really want to tell them something. My wife says, I'm not going to talk about it. And she says, well, just tell me something. And my wife said, call Delbert. That's what the Bible says, right? If you have a problem with somebody or a situation going on, go to the person. Don't talk about the person. Go to the person. Well, I never got the phone call. And here's why. It was because the person nor the people that were asking the question could do anything about it. So what does that make it? It makes it gossip. If you can't do anything about it and you're just wanting to talk about it, it's gossip. You have to remember that the best thing you can do for the person who's wanting to gossip to you and for yourself is to confront and stop the gossip and the slander, even if it costs the relationship. If you don't, you're going to find yourself in a prison of your own making, you and that person. If you don't, you're going to find that your mind is becoming entangled with this stuff and becoming depraved. If you don't, you're going to be finding out that you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You're talking about people that God loves. If you don't, you're going to cause people to hate you. And the best thing that you can do for them and for yourself is to confront it and to stop it right then. And I don't care how close you are to a person. They will hate you. I don't care if it's husband and wife. If a husband and a wife talk about each other and it gets back to them what they said, they'll start hating each other. It doesn't, listen, you got to come to the place where it's confronted. You got to come to the place and understand that if you don't, you're going to live in a wilderness prison. And you're going to have to deal with it the rest of your life. So let me give you a few things that you can use and say to people when you confront them. And these particular things will work for you, whether you're physically talking to the person, or if you're IMing with a person, or if you're cell phoning with a person, or if you're emailing with a person, or any other thing that the enemy comes up with to cause you to gossip and slander and give a bad report and keep you in your wilderness prison. These work. First of all, number one, simply say, we don't need to be talking about this. God loves that person, and our talking about it is not going to help them. And what you're going to find out is they're going to start crawfishing on you. They're going to say, well, I'm just concerned. I'm just caring about them. I'm just worried about them. Just don't talk about it. But no, I'm not going to talk about it. Number two, ask the gossip or the slanderer if you can tell the person being discussed what he or she just told you about them. And you'll find them balking. You'll find their next pitch is a balk, because they'll start crawfishing on you and they say, well, I'd rather that you didn't. I don't want to mad at me.
Why?
Because you can't do anything for them. You're talking about stuff that you can't control. Pray for them. Pray for them. And here's another one, which leads us to number three. Find something good to say about the person that's being slandered. Say, do you know what I like about that person? They're a good mother, or a good father, or a great provider, or you know what? They really love the Lord. They're prayer warriors. You know, there's something. And so you say something good. And here's what you'll find out. Because they'll always do like this to you. They'll say, but, you know. See, because they're more interested in their slander and their gossip and their story than they are the person. Number four, ask, have you talked to them? And of course, what will they say? No. But that's what the Bible says in Matthew 18. If you have a problem with somebody, go to the person. If you have a question, go to the person. Ask the person. Don't talk about the person. Talk to the person. Number five, say, that person is my friend, and I will not tolerate you talking negatively about my friend. Years ago, we had a meeting going on here. I had a very well-known preacher here, and he was running the meeting. It was the last night of the meeting, and the last night, one of his preacher buddies came, and after the service was over, I noticed him standing around the back talking. And so after the service was over, we would always go get something to eat. This particular night, we went to my home, and we were in my living room, and we had prepared us some sandwiches, and I was sitting in my recliner. I was laid back, and that's kind of how we eat at my house, and I have had my plate in my lap, and he comes in, and he sits down. And he starts talking about my friend. And I saw where the conversation was going. And I kicked up the recliner and I laid my plate down. And Judy was watching me and she's saying, oh, no. Oh, no. I looked at him. I raised up and I leaned and I looked him straight in the eyes. And I said, he is a very good friend of mine. We're not going to talk about him. I'm not going to tolerate you or anybody else talking about him. Obviously, you got stirred up tonight with some gossip. Obviously, you're misinformed because what you're saying is not accurate at all. And we're not going to talk about him. And he began to do the crawfish thing. Well, I'm just concerned, brother. You know, I'm concerned about his church. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about that. And I was thinking to myself, what can you do for him? You're not over in authority over his life. You're not even a really close friend of his. All you want to do is talk. The next day, I loaded him up and we went to the airport. It was the last night of the meeting anyway. So the next day, loaded him up, took him to the airport. A couple of years later, I invited him to come back. Guess what he said? Nope, not coming back. Did it damage our relationship? Yeah, I think it did. But if it's a relationship worth having. But he's not going to talk about my friend. Jesus confronted slander and gossips and poisonous people. Here's what he did to him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says this, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What he says is out of your depraved heart, your depraved mind, out of your sick and filthy mind and heart comes these sick and filthy, venomous words, and you shoot them into people. You bite them like a snake, and you inject those into their blood system, and they got to deal with it the rest of their lives. They got to deal with your stuff. They got to deal with your words. They got to deal with stuff the rest of their life. You snakes, you vipers. He called them what they were, viperous, slanderous people. He says, oh, by the way, everything that you're saying is being recorded. Next verse down, that was verse 34 of Matthew 12, verse 36 says this, verse after the next verse says this, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I want to tell you, everything you say about people is recorded. And every day, one day God's going to ask you, do you remember what you said about this? I want you to see, first of all, what it did in your life. When you did this, it took you to this prison. This is why. See, Joseph couldn't relate those things. You got to go back and you got to find the trace of why all this happened. And what Joseph found was that this is what caused this. Okay. And when God's going to show us all one day is when you said this about that person, this is what happened. This is the prison that it put you in. Now, I want you to explain to me why you said it. Give me an account. Why did you talk about that person? You couldn't help that person. There was nothing you could really do for them. You just wanted to talk. Give me an account. Tell me why you did it. Every idle word. By your words, you're justified, or by your words, you're condemned. I've made a decision in my life. I've determined that I don't want anyone else to hate me, ever. I don't care what for, and this is something I can stop. This is something I can help and keep people from hating me about, is by not talking about them. I don't want anyone else to hate me. I don't want any more poisons or wilderness or prisons going on in my life. I've had enough. I want to hold my dream. I want to live in my dream. I want to live in the righteousness and the peace and the joy that comes when you do it God's way according to His knowledge. I want the life that God has for me, the palace. I will not allow anyone to infect me with gossip and poison. I will not. I'll stop it. I'll confront it. I want a good mind. I want to keep my mind right. I don't want my mind to be consumed with thoughts, bad thoughts about people. Gossipy thoughts, slanderous thoughts. I don't want that in me. I don't want it poisoning me. I don't want it affecting me when I see them. I want to love them. How about you? Would you stand to your feet, please? With your heads bowed and eyes closed. What are you going to do with this word? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go out of here and keep talking about people? Keep living in the prison? When God has for you a palace, spend the rest of your life in a wilderness, and God has a promise and a dream for you. He wants to redeem it. What are you going to do? I'm going to ask you to do something. I want to ask you if you will do your best and ask the Lord right now to help you with this problem that's global. Help you with this problem. Help you not gossip, not slander, not give an evil report, and also not just stop there, but confront gossipers and slanderers. If you're going to pray and do your best to try to do this, would you slip your hand up and say, I'm going to do my best. I am going to try my best to stop it, stop doing it. I'm going to lock my tongue, and I'm going to confront the tongue that's doing it. Amen. Hands everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Father, you saw the hands, and you saw the commitment.